And welcome back, Mike Adams, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Pearson, and one of the people I've always enjoyed talking with over the years. Joins us now, Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Mike, and thank you for having me. Good to talk to you again.
Just like old times. Well, let's talk about Japan. Huge market for U.S. Meat and has been a strong partner for some time. They're still recovering from the COVID situation. I know you've recently been there. What did you find?
Yeah, Mike, I was a bit surprised, actually. I was there 2 weeks ago, and the market is strong, but they're still very much dealing with COVID-19. The last emergency declaration was lifted in April, and I was expecting more of a rebound, and quite frankly, when I got there, by the way, it was over 100 degrees when I was there. Everyone's wearing a mask indoors and outdoors. So there's still very much a concern around COVID, even though a lot of the restrictions have been loosened. So I think it's going to take a little bit of time. That being said, food service, there's certain sectors that are pretty active. The yakiniku sector, the barbecue sector, that's the family-style dining barbecue sector, is up 60% year on year, granted off of a very low base, but there's some signs of progress. So I think the good news there is as that recovery continues, hotel occupancy is up dramatically. So I think we're going to see more food service rebound later in the year, which is a good thing for our demand.
I was going to ask you, what kind of a timeline do you see? I mean, is this a slow recovery or do you see it starting to pick up some steam now?
Well, I think you got to remember, in Japan, what's the main mode of transportation? It's trains, especially in the urban areas. So that's where the crux of the concern on COVID lies, is with the trains being fairly full. So I think over time that will subside and we'll get back to a new normal. So yeah, I think the last half of this year, especially the fourth quarter and into next year, I think the food service, we've deemed this phrase in other countries called revenge spending. I think there's a lot of pent-up demand at food service, and we're seeing it already in that yakiniku sector. So I think it bodes well out front.
But I was going to say, given all those headwinds, we're still doing a lot of business with Japan, sending a lot of meat there.
We sure are, and we're starting to see it in the statistics as well. June for beef was up 12%. For pork, we were down just slightly, but we've been down 10 and 15% on pork earlier in the year. So I think there's gonna, this is still a country very dependent on imports, very dependent upon our quality of imports. So. Yeah, I think Japan and Korea, for that matter, Korea is a similar situation where the hotel occupancy is booming and we're starting to see food service come to life there as well.
We're talking with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. All right, Dan, so demand seems to be strong, but do higher prices slow that demand, or are we seeing the demand so strong that even with higher prices, it's going to stay strong?
Well, I think the old adage is what cures high prices, it's high prices. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so far, even with the higher pricing, demand's been pretty resilient. So it's a little hard to tell. I keep predicting that at some point it's got to slow down a little bit, but we certainly haven't really seen it. You know, the other thing to keep in mind is another thing that hasn't changed since the last time we talked is we still are facing supply chain challenges, maybe not as bad as it was. I think the worst might be behind us, but still, you know, higher freight rates have stabilized, but at a higher rate, and still some of the schedules are not that reliable. So, you know, with all that in front of us, demand is still good, still strong. So hopefully we can continue this run and, you know, I sure at some point the higher prices may slow it down a bit. But on the other hand, these countries need to import, especially in Asia, Japan, Korea, very dependent upon imports. So we'll see what happens. But I think we're well positioned.
Inflation's a huge issue here. Is it in these other countries, these other key markets as well?
There is an inflationary impact, but I would argue in some countries like Japan, inflation is not as impactful, or at least it hasn't been yet. But no doubt in some of the Latin American countries with not quite as much spending power, it's a real concern. And we haven't talked much about Latin America here this morning, but Mexico and Central and South America have been on a roll, especially for pork. So I'm really, when you look at some of these markets and some of the emerging regions like Vietnam and Africa and places like this, you got to think that they're especially susceptible to maybe a slowdown because of inflation.
What's been the biggest surprise here in 2022, good or bad? Something maybe you didn't expect or didn't see coming?
Well, I think the big surprise on the positive side has been the resiliency of food service and the hotel business in Latin America. It's absolutely booming and way quicker than I thought it would. So that's been a good thing. The business is through the roof. We're up almost 20% on pork exports to Mexico, for example. So I think that's a good thing. And I think on the negative side, I'm a bit surprised about how long it's taken Japan and Korea in particular to rebound from COVID. But it's not all negative because the retail is still booming in those markets. So it's kind of a mixed bag there. But in general, I think demand for our products is surprisingly strong given all the headwinds.
Are you able to get back to your on-ground promotion work and market development work that was stopped or slowed down during COVID?
We are almost everywhere in the world. We have been for quite a while in most of the regions. The one exception would be China. That is very much on and off. We're struggling there. China is still very much dealing with a zero COVID policy versus the rest of the world. It's kind of adopted a living with COVID policy. So the ability to do just an ordinary retail promotion in China really depends on the province and their particular rules at that time, and it's been all over the board. So we've done a lot of canceling, a lot of planning and moving things around in China. So it's been a challenge to say the least. Now, the flip side of that is that the beef business continues to do well there. So it kind of makes me wonder if we didn't have COVID, just how good would demand be on beef? But that's probably a discussion for another day.
I always ask you this. Back in the day, we always talked about this, but what's a key emerging market that we should keep an eye on?
Well, I think you've got several. One that really catches my eye today, which is not an emerging market for pork, that's Colombia, which is booming, but we're now starting to see dramatic growth on beef into Colombia as well. So that would be one. I think another region of the world that we always have to keep an eye on is Central America. That's another one that seems to be doing, has been doing well, and of course, my more futuristic one, of course, is Africa. So I think those are some regions of the world that we'll be talking a lot more about in the future.
What we hear very little these days from this administration about free trade agreements. Don't hear a whole lot about trade agreements at all. But what are your thoughts on the need of more free trade agreements? A new version of old things that were worked on, TPP, or something with the EU, or something with Britain. What's the landscape out there, and what do you see as the need for those things?
Well, I think the need is real. Our competitors are not standing still. They continue to be aggressive in this area. But that being said, the administration is doing a few things. They're not free trade agreements, but they are looking at some economic frameworks. The Indo-Pacific region in particular stands out, which, these sorts of things I think are a positive. A full-blown FTA would be more exciting, but the economic framework, concept is good as well, because we need to forge closer relations with some of these developing regions and the Indonesia area, Vietnam, et cetera, through that Southeast Asian corridor would be one. So, you know, I wouldn't say nothing's happening, but granted, we would be more excited if it was happening a little quicker. But to answer your original question, the ability to forge deeper relationships on trade would be a welcome, not only for the beef, pork, and lamb industries, but for all of agriculture.
But overall, the outlook is still looks like strong demand.
Very strong demand. Outlook is we're still very optimistic for the rest of the year. We're on pace for averaging $1 billion a month on exports of beef. So that by far will be a new record for the year. And pork started out a bit slow because of China, but pork's looking pretty good for the second half of the year as well. And part of that is a slight rebound in China, but also a rebound in Asia, as we just were talking about with Japan and Korea the last half of the year. So yeah, overall, despite all the headwinds, still pretty optimistic going forward.
Well, Dan, it's good to talk with you again, and good to hear that the business is still strong around the world, and you're working to make it even stronger moving forward. Take care. Keep that John Harris guy in line, okay?
We'll try. Thanks, John.
All right. Take care, Dan. Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.